Amen. Take a copy of God's Word this morning and turn to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 17. The Gospel of Luke in chapter 17. And if you don't have a Bible, you're welcome to use one of our Bibles that we have in the seat in front of you. And that will be on page number 499. So Luke chapter 17, or if you're using one of our Bibles there, page 499. While you find your place there in Luke 17, I'll go ahead and go over a few things with you. First of all, note the change in our schedule for next Sunday. We'll be having the Lord's Supper on Sunday morning, and during the Sunday morning service. Typically we do it on Sunday night, but we've got so much going on next Sunday night that I'm just altering the schedule a little bit. Also, Sunday night, December the 2nd. If you were not here last Sunday evening when we presented the budget, we announced that Ray Hunley will be stepping down as treasurer after 41 years. And we're going to honor him that evening, and looking forward to that. And I personally am going to miss him, but he's going to be transitioning out from the next year. So Tim Whitener and I came up with the title Treasurer Emeritus. So never heard of that before, but that's what he's going to be. And so anyway, that's what's going on the second. Also, thank you all for packing shoeboxes. I forgot to put a slide up here, but we packed 95 shoeboxes this year. That's incredible. We broke our record from last year of 84. And I knew it was going to be big because I bought 100 boxes. And got 95. That was great. Also, in the next few days, maybe later this week, each member will be getting a card in the mail from our church talking about all the different things going on in December. The challenge is take that card, invite one person to church during this Christmas season. We've got a lot going on in December, a lot of good stuff. Got the teens and the children going to do a play on the 9th. We've got the Christmas cantile on the 16th. We'll have a candlelight service on the 23rd. I think it's at Sunday night. We've got a lot going on in December because I love Christmas. I do get Christmas big. And I've got an incredible series we're starting next Sunday on Old Little Town of Bethlehem. And there's a lot of good stuff in the Bible, things that happen in Bethlehem. We're going to look at that over the next month. So that's coming up in December. Also, a couple things as far as funerals are concerned. Still be in prayer for Vanessa King's family. Her mom had passed away right before Thanksgiving. The funeral was tomorrow morning. And also, most of you got word of Jim Pritt passing away Saturday morning, about 2:30 in the morning. And his visitation is tomorrow evening from 6 to 8 at Kasdorf and Curry in St. Albans. The funeral will be here on Tuesday at 11 in the morning. So keep his family in your prayers as well. I'm going to miss Jim as well. Jim was just faithful and good guy there. All right, Luke 17, let's look at verse 11 through verses 19. Subject, I want to conclude this Thanksgiving pollution series on this subject. I miss Thanksgiving, and hope you like my emoji there I've got on. Verse 11 says this, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourself unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the other 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. And note what he says here, Thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy faith had made thee whole. This morning I want to talk about this subject once again. I missed Thanksgiving. Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you so much for the service so far. We want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you for this incredible passage of Scripture. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with this message. I pray that you'd be with this thought. I pray that you use it to speak to our hearts this morning as we conclude this Thanksgiving season. We love you, Lord. We thank you so much for Christ. As we've sung this morning through song, thank you so much for all you do in our lives. Lord, you're good. You're a good Father. We love you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. I begin with this thought. Pretend for a moment that you have just arrived at the Atlanta airport, because everybody knows in order to get to heaven someday you have to go through Atlanta, right? You're at the Atlanta airport. A storm has delayed your flight to get to Atlanta. Okay, so you're running frantically to the booth because you're trying to get back to Charleston, West Virginia. All right? So you get up to the booth, you get the counter, and you're running late, and you're asking the lady, are there any seats left? She looks at the computer screen, and this is her exact words. No, I'm afraid. And you know how the sentence is going to end, right? No, I'm afraid, dot, dot, dot. I'm afraid we're going to have to bump you up to first class. Well, that would take you for, right? It reminded me when I was, a few years ago, we went to vacation down in Clearwater. We got to the Clearwater airport, and I rented a Dodge car or something. Ella had just been born. And the guy goes, I'm afraid we're going to have to bump you up. I got a whole fleet of brand new Jeep Wranglers. I'm going to bump you up to that with no charge. Sure, I'll take a Jeep Wrangler. So, anyway, you ask the lady, I'm afraid we're going to bump you to first class. And I guarantee you're going to be thankful for that. So you're on the airplane, you're in first class, person across the aisle from you is grumbling because he doesn't have a pillow. And he's asking the flight attendant, he's saying, I paid for this seat, why don't I get my pillow? And here you are on this side of the aisle, you're thankful because you didn't even pay for first class. They just bumped you up to first class, and the other guy paid for first class. What's the difference? What's the difference? One side of the aisle, one person's grateful. The other side of the aisle, one person's grumbling. The other guy paid his way into first class. Yours is a gift. Which side of the aisle do you find yourself this morning, grateful or grumbling? In review, we've spent the last 7 Sunday mornings looking at this thought on Thanksgiving pollution. We looked at things such as toxic thoughts. We talked about negative thoughts that pollute the Thanksgiving spirit in our life. We looked at narcissism. We looked at the idea of selfishness. We talked about clearing cloudy vision, or how our vision of God is cloudy at times. We talked about the fear factor. And sometimes our fear keeps us from being thankful. We talked about the acidic attitude, the negative attitude. We talked about the poison envy of comparison, the idea of comparing one another and envying others. And last week we looked at the fragrance of triumph and the idea of triumphing in Christ and how we should be giving off that fragrance of Him in this world. So as we end the Thanksgiving season and go into Christmas season, we see though, as way I look at this morning, I miss Thanksgiving. We see that we have a culture and a society that completely misses Thanksgiving. Now, like I said on Wednesday night in our Thanksgiving service, I don't say that because, you know, we all take time off, we spend time with our families, we eat, we watch football, I was going to say some good basketball, but North Carolina lost. But anyway, Duke lost too, and other teams. Anyway, watch some good basketball, watch some good football, you know what I mean? You relax, you wind down a little bit, you spend time. I'm not saying it because of that stuff. That's good stuff. We need to take that time to do that. What I'm saying is, we have a society and a culture that's bent on materialism, narcissism, and commercialism that just takes holidays and commercializes them, that just feeds our human nature. Many times, as soon as the candy gets off the shelves from Halloween, they're stocking everything back up for Christmas as if we as a culture just skip right over Thanksgiving. Yet, here's the idea. Our country's blessed. We have a lot of blessings. If you have a roof over your head, if you were able to get out of bed this morning, take a shower in hot water, nice hot water, dress, have clothes to wear, food to eat, a car to drive to get, hey, you're blessed. You're blessed this morning. And when you're blessed, sometimes we get caught up in things and we forget to take time to be thankful for those benefits and those blessings. The fact that we could put our feet on the ground this morning is a blessing. And though we finish celebrating Thanksgiving in the traditions, but my challenge is to this whole series is we need to get back to the attitude of Thanksgiving. 365 days a year, and on leap year, don't forget February 29th either. So, and this begins in the church. We can't expect a lost and dying world to do that. Those who are saved this morning, those who have Christ in their heart, have every reason to be thankful because you got heaven when you die. You got a hope. It begins in the hearts of God's people. So many times, like we've seen over the last few weeks, we all struggle with Thanksgiving pollution at times. We struggle with these things. In way of introduction this morning, let's examine our heart. I want to bring out four questions in way of introduction. Ask yourself these questions before we get into the meat of the message. The first question is this: am I too busy to be thankful? Ask yourself, be honest with yourself. We plan to express thanks to God, but we just get too busy with life at times. You become so preoccupied with everything, you don't remember to express gratitude most of the time. Sometimes we get caught up working for the Lord and serving the Lord and doing things for the Lord. We forget to take time to spend time with Him and be thankful for Him. Ask yourself this morning, am I too busy to be thankful? Ask yourself the second question: am I too cautious to be thankful? What do I mean by this? We plan to express thanks to God and others, but we guard ourselves against joy. We live our lives as if, is this too good to be true? Do we say, wait a second, this looks like a good thing, but I don't want to get my hopes up. I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. You're anxious. You're nervous. I never forget, man. It's one of the greatest lessons I've ever learned. I had a 94 Chevy Blazer that broke down outside of Chattanooga, Tennessee years ago. And down in Dalton, Georgia. I was heading back to Chattanooga, Tennessee. I was in college. I had no money. And Lord worked some things out. The motor broke, got the motor fixed. And here I am worried about the motor breaking again. Of course, I mean, I'm 20 years old. I'm nervous. I'm scared to death. And I forget my pawpaw saying. He goes, when he uses my first and middle name, he knows he's serious. He goes, Dean Christopher, don't live like that. What was he saying? He was saying, here I am. I'm living like I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. My motor's fixed. I'm thankful that somebody helped me fix my motor, and I'm thankful for that, but is it too good to be true? I'm waiting for the thing to break again. That's what I'm calling too cautious to be thankful. We can't live that way. Here's another thing. Am I too self-centered to be thankful? We get caught up in the things we have to give up to follow Him in order to be thankful. It's a good thing. I'm thankful on one hand, but it requires something to me that I have not anticipated, and I've got mixed feelings about it. Hey, what does the Bible say in Galatians 2:20? I'm crucified with Christ. Luke 9:23, if any man follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. 1 Corinthians 15:31, I die daily. We got to realize life is not about us. It's about Him. We cannot even begin to follow Him unless we die to ourselves. Here's another question. Am I too arrogant to be thankful? We're more concerned about image and being thankful amidst to being needy. Sometimes we're blinded by our own arrogance and pride to be grateful for God's blessings. In our lives, are we too arrogant to be thankful? Are we more caught up on ourselves to be thankful? So ask yourself these four questions in way of introduction. God, am I too busy to be thankful? Am I too cautious to be thankful? Am I too self-centered to be thankful? Am I too arrogant to be thankful? Busyness, cautiousness, selfishness, arrogance. These things can choke Thanksgiving right out of our lives and cause us to miss Thanksgiving. Have you missed Thanksgiving this morning? And the question I want to bring out to you today is, are you remembering or are you missing Thanksgiving? So as we consider our text this morning, Jesus is on His way to Jerusalem for the final time from Galilee. He's reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. If you have maps in the back of your Bible, you'll see where the northern part of Israel in Jesus' time was known as Galilee. Then you had the area of Judea and Jerusalem. In between Jerusalem and in between Galilee is that little region called Samaria. Many Jews would go around the Jordan River and back, so they didn't go through Samaria. They were a mixed breed. They were half breed. They were half Jew, half Gentile. There was a little bit of racism there. And As Jesus was going, he went through Samaria. As he entered a village, 10 lepers, 10 men who were infected by the disease of leprosy, I'll get into that in a moment, they're crying out, "Jesus, have mercy on us." They're yelling, as the Old Testament would say, "Unclean! Unclean!" The warning was unnecessary because their appearance drove people away. Ulcerated skin, shortened limbs, lumpy faces, people avoided lepers. Jesus pursued them. When he heard their cry, he told them, "Go show yourself to the priest." The lepers understood the significance of the instructions. Only the priest could reverse the stigma, Old Testament thinking. Only they could certify the cleansing of the leper according to Leviticus chapter 14. To their credit, the lepers obeyed. To the credit of Jesus, they were healed. As they walked, they dropped their crutches, they discarded their hoods, their spines began to straighten, their skin began to clear up, and smiles came up. Misery became leaping and jumping and celebration. Health! Jesus watches them go across the horizon dancing for joy. And he waited for their return. He waited. Jesus waited. Jesus stood there. He wanted to hear the reunion stories. What did your family say? How the kids respond? How does it feel to be healed? Jesus waited for the 10 men to return and say thanks. But only one of them came back. And only that one of the 10 was a Samaritan, half Jew, half Gentile, assuming that the other 9 were Jews. Even Jesus was astonished. You think that neither fire or hell or any storm could keep them from coming back and thanking the one who healed them. Where were the other 9? And he asked that question there in verse 17, where are the other 9? Where are the 9? In this passage, I see 9 men who missed Thanksgiving. And I see 1 man who remembered Thanksgiving. In your life and in my life, as we tie this series up, are we remembering or are we missing Thanksgiving? This morning, I want to consider, in just a few moments, why 9 of these men missed Thanksgiving. And in way of application, I want to share with you why that one person remembered Thanksgiving. So, I miss Thanksgiving because of 3 reasons. 3 reasons I miss Thanksgiving. Number 1, I miss Thanksgiving when I forgot about the burden of my leprosy. When I forgot about the burden of my leprosy. Now, there's a spiritual significance here when I use the term leprosy. Look at verse 12. He enters in the village. 10 men were lepers which stood afar off. Now, let's understand this verse for a second. It's amazing, as soon as 9 of these men were cleansed from their leprosy, they instantly forgot what a burden it was to have leprosy. According to Leviticus chapter 13, if you get a chance, read that chapter. Leviticus chapter 13, leprosy was a serious, serious disease. The Hebrew word for this disease means to strike, and that's what leprosy did. It struck its victim. It began with a small scab or a bright spot rising in your skin. As soon as they noticed it, they would show themselves to the high priest. And if he saw the hair on that scab turn white and noticed that it was deeper than the skin, he would pronounce him unclean. True leprosy in that day, it affected the skin and it affected the nerve endings. And as it spread, it would produce ulcers. The tissues would contract and the limbs would come deformed. And what began as one little sore gradually spread and would turn your whole body into a mass of corruption and ugliness. Your body, your flesh would begin literally rotting and it would eventually kill you. The word unclean in Leviticus 13, 14, and 15, the word unclean is mentioned 54 times. And in those 54 times, it describes the ceremonial defilement that makes the victim unfit for social life and for participation in worship at the house of God. And leprosy in the Old Testament was an illustration, a picture of what sin does to me and what sin does to you. Like leprosy, sin is deeper than the skin. Sin comes from our heart. Jeremiah 17 verse 9 tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? When he said it's desperately wicked, he said it's beyond cure. Our heart is wicked. Our heart is sinful. Nothing comes out of our heart that's pure and clean and good. We're sinners. And sin is not a surface problem. The surface problem are all the symptoms of a deeper problem in our heart. Sin is not a surface problem. You cannot solve sin with simple remedies, like curing cancer with hand lotion. Simple remedies doesn't cure things. All right, it has to go down to the heart. Everybody doesn't have a drug problem or an alcohol problem or this problem. Everybody's got a sin problem. Until they get Christ in their heart and fix the sin problem. That's what happens here. So, sin comes from within, from fallen nature. Unless the heart is changed, there can be no solving to the sin problem. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin, like leprosy, starts small, spreads throughout your whole body. It's triggered by the things of this world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Sin affects everything we do. There are sins of the flesh, there are sins of the spirit. There's none righteous, no, not one. Whatever sin touches, sin defiles. Sin makes us unclean. There's nothing good that you and I can do to cleanse ourselves. Because we're sinners, only the blood of Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, can wash away that sin and defilement. When you read Psalm 51, David confesses his sins. When he sinned with Bathsheba, he mentioned how his sins defiled every part of his being. His eyes, verse 3. His mind, verse 6. His ears, verse 8. His bones, verse 8. His heart, verse 10. His mouth, verse 13 through 15. His hands were stained by Uriah's blood. All that he could do was throw himself at the mercy of God and say, God, wash me. If you're here and you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and maybe you've been saved for a while, hey, sometimes we'll forget the burden we were under our sins. Sometimes we do. It started small. It spread. It defiled me. I was unclean. Nothing I could do could save me. Then Jesus died for me. He rose again. He saved me. And when He saved me, He cleansed me. What happens is sometimes we get so caught up. Maybe we're too busy. Maybe we're too cautious. Maybe we're too arrogant. Maybe we're too selfish at times. And we still have some sin in our heart. But we forgot about what we were saved from when we were saved. That's what I mean by forgetting about the burden of my leprosy. Sometimes we, like these nine men, miss Thanksgiving because we forgot the burden of our leprosy. The burden our sin brought to us before we came to Christ. And literally, those nine men were healed and one came back. And it was almost, they forgot that quick. It's interesting how human nature can be. I forgot the burden of my leprosy. Another reason why I missed Thanksgiving, I forgot the brokenness of my loneliness. Look at the next part of verse 12. They stood afar off. I noticed that these lepers, before they were cleansed, they stood afar off. They were isolated from society. They were isolated from their families. They were isolated from life. I'm going to tell you right now, when you're isolated like that, there's brokenness. There's depression. It's not good. According to Leviticus chapter 13, verse 46, the leper had to tear his clothes, put a covering on his upper lip, and cry, unclean! Unclean! Whenever anybody approached him, and he had to remain outside of society until either he was healed or he died. A very lonely life to live. And I'll stop right there and say, it might not be leprosy. There could be other diseases out there today that can separate a person from social life. Remember those people in your prayers. We have lists on our prayer list of people who suffer from cancer. Their life is gone. Suffering from things. Keep them in your prayers. Send them a card. Love on them. There's brokenness of loneliness. Heman described it in Psalm 88 verse 5. Free among the dead. Isolated. Free among the dead. Leprosy was a broken, lonely life to live for a leper. Such were these 10 men before they were saved, before they were touched by Jesus. Sin, in effect, does the same way in our lives. Without Jesus in our heart, there's a void. I see people all the time that I love dearly that try to fill that void with everything this world's got to offer, but they're still broken and they're still lonely. And it's not enough in this world. For all in that moment there may be temporary fulfillment, in the end there's still brokenness and loneliness. Without Christ in your life this morning, cleansing in your heart, you go through this life broken and lonely and one day spend eternity apart from Him in a devil's hell. And I believe this, what makes hell bad is not the fire and the darkness. Though those things are bad, it's a place of eternal isolation and loneliness. And nobody wants to be lonely. We're all wired to be loved. If you're here this morning, you know Christ as your Savior. Sometimes we forget how broken and lonely we once were before we became the Christ. Then Jesus came and He cleansed and He comforted us. Sometimes, like these nine men, we miss Thanksgiving because we forget the brokenness of our loneliness. Let me go forward. Number three. I miss Thanksgiving because I forgot about the burden of my leprosy, the broken of my loneliness. Number three, I forgot about the blessing of my Lord. I forgot about the blessing of my Lord. Look at verse 13 and verse 14. They see Jesus. They know of Jesus. They know His reputation. They say, "Master, have mercy on us." And Jesus said one simple sentence here in verse 14. He said, "Go, show yourself unto the priest." Now, let me unpack that phrase for you. What He said there in verse 14. Those men knew what Jesus was saying. On the surface, we read that and we're going, okay, go show yourself to the priest. Let me unpack this for you. In that time, a leper could be cleansed and restored to society if he was healed. However, in that day, the Jews had no cure for leprosy. Thus, if the victim became well from leprosy, it was a gift of God's mercy and grace. Hey, there's diseases today that we have no cure for. Yet that person is healed from that disease, it is a gift of God's mercy and a gift of God's grace. And Jesus told them to go show themselves to the priest in verse 14. He was referring to the steps outlined in Leviticus 14. This is amazing. It's a very strange ritual, but it's got Christ written all over it. In Leviticus 14 shows the steps how a leper could be cleansed and restored. And it was also a picture of what Jesus Christ did for us as sinners on the cross. So let me outline those steps. The first step in Leviticus 14 was the steps cleanse the leper. The first thing they would do is this. The priest went to the leper. Note that the leper didn't go to the priest. The priest went to the leper in verses 1 through 3 of Leviticus 14. Since the unclean leper was not permitted to enter the camp. The priest, the high priest, had to go outside the camp to minister to him or her. And I thought about Luke chapter 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost." While the priests went to determine if they were healed, Jesus came to sinners in order to heal them. Throughout the gospel, Jesus is going to sinners. Throughout the gospel, Jesus is going to them. Jesus came to sinners in order to heal them. So after the priests would go to the leper, when they would show themselves to the priest, it was outside the camp, the priest would go to them. When Jesus said this, the next thing that would happen is two birds are offered. This is a very interesting, very strange ritual, but it's very interesting to me. Leviticus 14, 4 through 7. He would take two birds. One was put in a clay pot over running water and killed. The other bird was dipped in the blood of that dead bird, along with cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. They would use that to sprinkle the blood upon the leper seven times, pronouncing him clean. And they would let the living bird covered with blood loose into the open field. A very strange ritual when you look at it. But it pictures what Christ did for a lost world. Now think about it. Birds don't belong in clay jars, am I correct? Birds belong in the heavens. Jesus came down from heaven and became a man. As it were, He put Himself into an earthen vessel, a clay jar, so He could die for our sins. The running water over which the bird was killed reminds us of the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus offered Himself to God through the eternal Spirit, Hebrews 9:14. Holy Spirit was leading Christ all the way. When the blood-stained living bird was turned loose, it pictured our Lord's resurrection. For the resurrection of Christ is as much as a part of the gospel message as His death, 1 Corinthians 15. Only a living Savior can save dead sinners. Let me say it again, only a living Savior can save dead sinners. The blood of the bird that was sacrificed was in the jar, the living bird, but it had to be applied to the healed leper. Using the hyssop, the priest sprinkled the blood on the leper 7 times and then pronounced the leper clean. How did the victim know he was clean? Well, the priest told him so. How do sinners know they're saved? How do believers know that God has saved us? Because he tells us in his word. No matter how the leper felt or what he looked like, God said he was clean and that settled it. If the Son has set you free, you're free indeed. So then after that, the step was that the person that was healed from leprosy would go cleanse himself. In chapter 14, verse 8 and 9, on the day of his cleansing, he had to wash himself and his garments, shave off all his hair. He was then permitted to enter the camp, but he wasn't allowed to enter his home, his tent. He had to stay outside 1 more week. Why wash when the priest had already pronounced him clean? Because he had to apply personally what God said was true positionally. The man was ceremonial clean. He had the right to live in the camp, but he needed to make personally and practically clean so he could be fit to live in the camp. The next step was this. The person after 1 week would cleanse himself again. This takes place a week later. The man had to wash, shave his body again, put on clean clothes. The dual shaving left his skin like that of a baby, perhaps symbolizing the new birth. The shaving and washing didn't kill the germs of leprosy. God had done that. But they symbolized the newness of life that had come to the former leper. And then the last step, in the last part of Leviticus 14, the person offered the required sacrifices. Just like a leper could be cleansed and restored, sin in the heart of man could be cleansed and restored through Jesus Christ. When Jesus told them to show themselves to the priest in that verse, they knew exactly what he meant, those 5 steps. They obeyed, and on the way, they were all cleansed. So I'm picturing when Jesus was waiting for them to come back to thank him after the whole process was taking place. They were on the way to the priest. Good leper, 2 birds offered, person cleansed himself again, all that. So, culturally speaking, that's what he meant there, verse 14. But here's the symbolism. Because Jesus died on the cross for you and me, all he asks us to do to be cleansed from the burden of sin, from the brokenness and loneliness of sin, is that we accept him as our personal Savior, be born again, and allow him to pick up the pieces and to cleanse us from the inside out. Now, how does this happen? It's nothing I can do, nothing you can do, by the grace of God. We aren't saved. If we aren't saved by God's grace, then we're not saved at all. For nobody here deserves to be saved. Not of works, but by the grace of God it saves us. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. If you're here today and you know Christ as your Savior, sometimes we can forget how blessed we are. When you start to study in the Word what you were saved from and what the Lord is doing to cleanse you from the inside out, it will overwhelm you when you're saying, hey God, I'm worshiping you. I thank you for saving me. I was dirty. I was broken. I was lonely. I was lost. But you reached down and you saved me. Thank you so much, Lord. These 9 men exhibited the faith they need to be cleansed by responding. They obeyed what Jesus said, but they missed thanking him because they forgot the blessing in this. So many Christians today, they obey, they serve, but they forget to thank him. Sometimes we, like these 9 men, miss Thanksgiving because we forget the blessing of our Lord's salvation and cleansing. Hey, I miss Thanksgiving because of 3 things. I forgot about the burden of my leprosy. I forgot about the brokenness of my loneliness. And I forgot about the blessing of my Lord. Don't forget those things this morning. Let's tie this together in application. We've seen through 10 men the fickleness of people and the fickleness of human nature. 9 that missed Thanksgiving and 1 that remembered Thanksgiving. If this account from Scripture is any indication, 9 out of 10 people, 90% of people miss Thanksgiving every day. 90% of people have Thanksgiving pollution. That's epidemic proportions. From this text as well as from observation, let's apply this to our lives. How can we remember Thanksgiving? Look at verse 15 and verse 16. This is how this one guy, this one Samaritan, turned back and thanked the Lord on his way to the high priest. Number one, I stop to see my blessings. There comes a time where we must stop and see our blessings. What the Lord has done for us, what he's provided for us, what he's given for us, we stop to see our blessings. Look at verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he stopped to see he was healed. These guys were, they knew they were healed. They were going to the priest and they were rejoicing. But this guy just stopped and noticed that he was healed. You notice that? They knew they were healed, but he stopped to see he was healed. Here's the idea. He saw he was healed. He decided to see the blessing which prompted him to thank the Lord. Sometimes we're so blessed and we focus on the negative too much. We are distracted too much. We don't stop to see the blessings. I saw that in action this morning. Ella comes in the kitchen. There's a half a Krispy Kreme donut sitting in the cabinet. She sees the Krispy Kreme donut. And she makes eye contact with that green wrapper. She said, "Daddy," I gave her the half the donut. She takes it. On the way back, she said, "Thank you, Daddy." She stopped to see her blessing. Just make it practical. Sometimes we're so blessed and we focus on the negative too much. Or are we distracted too much? We fail to see the blessings. If we don't see the blessing, we're going to miss the blessing. In effect, missing Thanksgiving. This one man stopped to realize just how far he'd come. From the burden of his leprosy, from the brokenness of his loneliness, to the blessing of his Lord. That caused him to stop and see for what it was, which created a thankful heart inside of him. Are you remembering to stop in the midst of all the busyness just to see the blessings in your day? Stop to see the blessings. Number two, I remember Thanksgiving when I turn back to remember how I've been blessed. Notice what he does. He turns back with a loud voice, glorifies God. This man not only stopped, but he turned back to see Jesus just to thank him. I can imagine when he turned back, his memory prompted him. Earlier in that day, he was hopeless. He was unclean. He was defiled. No one wanted him. He was depressed. He was lonely. Then Jesus cleansed him. Jesus healed him. And he obeyed that command. The very act of turning back, reflecting on how far the Lord had taken him, created a spirit of thankfulness in him. You remember the night you got saved? I do. August the 1st, 1996. Sometimes if I have to, sometimes I've got to look back on that day. Go back to the place where you accepted Christ as your Savior. Think about your life since that day. Turn back to see how God has preserved you and kept you from ruin, kept you from different things. And it creates a spirit of thanksgiving in you because you know he's on your side. He's helping you. And turn back to remember how you've been blessed. I see a third thing. Not only when I stop to see the blessings and I turn back to remember, but number three in application, I remember Thanksgiving like this one guy when I fall down and worship the one that blessed me. Look at there in verse 16. He fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. I see him glorifying God in a loud voice, falling down at the feet of his master Jesus and giving him thanks. He is thanking the one who can heal him. Think about this. Everything we have, every blessing we received, all comes from Him. Have you missed Thanksgiving in this respect? Are you thanking the one who gives you all things? Think about that for a moment. We worship Him. Thanksgiving is the way we worship Him. He gave us everything. Everything we do, everything we are, everything we have comes from Him. And when it comes back to the spiritual application, we've all been defiled by sin. If you're saved, you've been cleansed from sin. You're free to walk in newness of life. And for that very thing right there, I got to give Him thanks and worship Him. Let's close with this thought. When we remember Thanksgiving, it helps us get through the hard stuff. To reflect on your blessings is to rehearse God's accomplishments. To rehearse God's accomplishments is to discover His heart. To discover His heart is to discover not just good gifts, but the good giver. Gratitude and thankfulness always leaves us looking at God and away from dread. But what are those days that we have more often than others, those disastrous days? The nights we cannot sleep and the hours we cannot rest. Are we grateful then? Are we grateful in the storms? That's what I'm saying. I believe Jesus was, because 1 Corinthians 11, 23 and 24 says, and He's our example, He's our model, the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He given thanks, He broke it. Not often do you see the two words betrayed and thanks in the same sentence, much less in the same heart. Jesus and His disciples were in the upper room. Judas Iscariot sat in the corner. Peter sat at the table. One man would betray Jesus, the other one would deny Him that very night. Jesus knew this. Yet on the night He was betrayed, His heart was heavy. He was getting ready to die for the sins of the world. His heart was heavy. He knew He was being betrayed. He still gave thanks. Note that verse. In the midst of the darkest night of the human soul, Jesus found a way to give thanks. Many of the songs in our hymn book were written by people who gave thanks on a dark night in their life. Anybody can thank God for the light, but Jesus teaches us to thank God for the night. And the whole idea was this, in the whole series we've been doing, Thanksgiving's polluted because we miss Thanksgiving at times. We get polluted by things. Focus on Christ this morning. Focus on what He did for you. If you're here this morning, you don't know Him as Savior. I'd love to take a Bible. Somebody could take a Bible, show you how you can know for sure you've been saved. Let's bow for prayer and we'll have our invitation. Father, I don't know who this series and this message was for, but I pray that it would be responded to well by the hearts of people that hear it. Lord, I don't know who in this room knows Christ as their Savior and who doesn't. I don't know. But Father, I pray that You'd be with those Christians here this morning. Help them to know that, hey, they're giving off fragrance like we looked at last week of Christ, wherever they go. And Lord, I pray that You just help us to cultivate more of a thankful, joyful spirit, because sometimes this world, we're the only Bible they ever read. Help us to point people to You. Father, for those here that's not saved, Lord, I want to pray for their hearts. Lord, I pray that You just would speak to their hearts. Help them to realize their need for salvation. Help them to see themselves as a sinner, lost and lonely and broken without You, Father. And I pray that You just would work in their heart. I pray we see souls saved for Your glory. Father, I pray You bless this invitation time now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's all.